Irrelevant. This is not my sermon, by the way. Untrue. What do you think of this morning when you think about Easter? I had it brought into sharp focus for me this morning. I think it's interesting that Christians, particularly in Northern Ireland over the last sort of 8 or 10 weeks, have been getting a really rough time. And some of it is completely of their own making. I'm going to be quite honest. And if ever there's a time for people to understand it, that the message of today and the message of Easter Sunday is not boring, irrelevant to your life, and completely untrue. It is a time that we live in now. Because the thing I love about Easter Sunday is that it reminds me that whatever is going on in my life, there is something at the very center, and that is the work of Jesus. And I am a normal guy, like most of you. Some of you are not normal looking at you, to be fair. I am, for the most part, normal. I have kids. I have family. I have bills to pay. I have a garden to dig. Any volunteers? Oh, I hate gardening. And so if the Lord speaks to anyone about doing my garden, I'll be fine. And so I come to a place today where I think, for everything that's going on in my life, if today's not true and what we celebrate is not true, then I would be much better off playing golf or doing something different this morning. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then all of this is a pile of nonsense. There's a good intro for you, isn't it? And all the people go, well, that's a wee bit awkward. I haven't heard a sermon start. But that's the truth of it. And what I remind myself of today is that rather than being boring, irrelevant, and untrue, this is what I base my life on. And if you're a visitor here this morning, if you have no idea, this morning what we're celebrating is the fact that God himself came in the form of a man like you and me. And he took every bit of stuff, sin, that would separate us from God, all the stuff in our lives, that all the dirt and the muck and the stuff that we never, ever, for the most part, let anyone else into or see, and he took it away from us so that this morning I can be free. And I remind myself this morning that this is a good message, that it's all about love. And at Easter, we've called our Easter service this year Real Love. I was reminded of it. I've got 2 girls, 4 and 2, Hope and Sophie. And let's just say that they're kind of sisters, never such devoted sisters. You know that song? And then sometimes they're pulling the hair out of each other. And this morning was one of those mornings. Penny was in the shower getting ready, and I do breakfast every morning in our house. And so every morning, 7 days a week, every morning. Okay? Did I throw that out there? So yeah. So I do breakfast like every morning. And what a martyr. But this morning, Sophie, it is cereal and toast, but that's tricky when there's 3 of them, right? So Sophie this morning is having a moment. Somebody bought the kids badges yesterday, but Sophie, Hopi, number 4-year-old, had lost hers, and so she wanted Sophie's, who's 2. And World War III broke out this morning over the breakfast table. It got to this table. I want that badge. No. I was like, girl, seriously? Let me get a coffee into me. And it ended up with Sophie grabbing her cereal bowl and just going, and bucking it all over. She threw her cereal at me. And Hope going for the knife. You know, and I'm like, no, seriously, 4 and 2. And sisters love it. And I want that badge. You're not getting my badge. Cereal everywhere. I'm like, seriously? And then 3 minutes later, Hope is cuddling her little sister going, I love her so much my heart could burst. I'm going, leave her alone, she's covered in milk, and you're going to be stinking. She said, oh, Daddy, look at her, she's so cute. And Sophie's like, ugh. You know, that kind of, give me my badge or I'm going to kill her, you know. And so it's funny that whenever we think about love, it's such a really good illustration, isn't it, about what human love's like. Well, it's one of the things that makes us human. We want to be loved, and we want to love people. It's common to us all. The world has got that a wee bit mixed up, though. But one of our greatest needs, and one of your greatest needs this morning, is to, it starts and it begins and it ends with love. And that's why Easter Sunday is such an incredible morning. We all need love. We all need to know that we are loved by someone. We need to know that somebody truly cares about us. We need to know that somebody accepts us unconditionally, knows us warts and all, but still loves us. When we doubt that we're loved, how it plays out in our lives is all sorts of stupid kind of behavior. You see people who are desperate for love, so they sleep around. You see people who are really desperate for love, so they behave selfishly and manipulatively. But at the heart of it all, the greatest need that we have this morning is to be loved. And that's what Easter is about. Now, the problem with love that we know is that it's a wee bit like my girls. They're killing each other one minute, and then they're loving each other to death the next minute. Anyone with kids, is that? That's kind of the way it works generally in the house, isn't it? Either that or I'm doing such a really bad job of parenting. Well, my wife is, because I work a lot. But the point with love is this. It tends to be conditional and mercurial. We tend to show love to people who love us, and then those who don't love us so much, well, we kind of just withdraw a little bit and we hold a little bit of ourselves back. It's easy to love our kids when they're well-behaved, isn't it? But anyone been around Tesco's where, do you know what I did in Tesco's about 3 weeks ago with Sophie, my 2-year-old? Because I couldn't get her to sit in the trolley, I took my belt off in Tesco's, Castlereagh Road, and I put it around her. And any social workers, please just close your eyes right now. What I did was I actually... This is true, because I couldn't get her to sit in the trolley, and it was a safety issue, I promise. So I just pulled it really tight and put my belt on and walked around holding my jeans up like this, doing my shopping. All right? And for half an hour of that 45-minute shop, Sophie screamed like I was beating her with sticks. Ah! Get me out! And honestly, I didn't love her very much. I was embarrassed, and I wanted out of Tesco, so she was doing my head in. But see, when she's well-behaved, I mean, I would just go to the ends of the earth for her. Isn't that funny? It's easy to be loving towards our partners or our spouses when everything's going really sweet. I don't know what your marriage is like. My marriage is fantastic. I love my wife. But it certainly ain't the Waltons. You know, we don't get up in the morning and sing Kumbaya to one another. Gaze lovingly across the kitchen table. Oh, how were you this morning, sweetheart? Oh, lovely. Speak up. I can't hear for all those birds tweeting, you know. It doesn't work like that in our house. I love my wife, and sometimes she does my flipping head in. Any men say amen? Amen. Any women? Absolutely. So that's the problem, isn't it, with love? Generally, human love, the kind of love that we're used to, in a human sense, is very conditional. It's changeable, and essentially it's self-seeking. But unconditional love, having somebody in your life who demonstrates real love, well, what does that look like, and why would it make a difference to you today? Because that's the crux of the matter. You know, it's interesting, as I've watched the press over the last number of weeks, and I love the news, and as I've watched things like Ashers, okay, just to name it, and I read all the stuff that goes on. I read like the Belfast Telegraph online in bed at night, and Penny cracks up. She's like, put that out. You know, switch your phone off, and I can, oh, look. And what I see is that increasingly, God is not seen as somebody who loves us, but somebody who judges us, is completely irrelevant to real life, and everything that he says about life is completely untrue. And there's quite a lot of vitriol towards Christians right now, and I find it really interesting, because for me, I think that what we celebrate this morning is the most supreme act of love and grace that we have ever seen. Let me say, God's not going to judge anyone anymore outside of Jesus. He judged Jesus on your behalf. And simply what you have to do is come to Jesus and say, I accept your work. I accept you as my Lord. And that's it. And God will judge you no more. The only judging God does is through the eyes of Jesus. And when he went to that cross and he hung and he died, that was more than enough for all of the people in the world ever. And so we accept God, and we accept what he says, and we accept what Jesus says. And we know that we're secure in his love. See, it's not conditional. It doesn't go up and down. God's love doesn't come in and out like the tide. He did a one-time act that forever, ever, ever will hold. But the problem for us is, I think that most of us live with this kind of idea that God's love is a wee bit like people's love. When we do really well, God loves us. When we're not doing so well, so when you're impatient with your wife, you're impatient with your kids, when you haven't been to church in the last 10 years or whatever it happens to be, then God loves you a little bit less. And so you have to expect a little bit less from God. I talk to people quite a lot of the time and say, look, when I get my life sorted out, I'll come to church and then God will love me. And you kind of go, no, that's really screwed up. That's the wrong way of thinking. The point is, if when your life is in a real mess, that's when you come to God and you understand that he loves you first and he loves you anyway. He doesn't wait for you to get cleaned up. He says, actually, you'll not get cleaned up unless you come to me just as you are, and then I'll clean you up. So we kind of hide from God. And we think that God will love us more and bless us more whenever we're good and we behave right. And then if we don't do that, then he's going to be cross with us. He's going to pull back from us. And I could never expect anything from God, or I could never go to God for anything because I'm not good enough. That's what religion has taught people. Like the tide coming in and the tide coming out, God's love is entirely dependent on how well you're doing. If you're suffering from hardship and struggle in your life this morning, religious people will tell you that's God just trying to teach you a lesson. I love my kids. And you might think that strapping Sophie to the trolley was pretty harsh. Seriously, she was all over the place and throwing things and all. So I was struggling, sweating, you know, and all sorts of stuff. But whenever hardship and struggle come into your life, it's not God trying to teach you a lesson. Do you understand that? Religion has taught people that the only way that God himself, the creator, the King of Kings, can teach people is by giving them cancer and killing them. Nonsense. God doesn't punish people anymore. God doesn't punish you anymore. He punished Jesus on your behalf, and he will never punish you again. That's a good word this morning. Oh, but we're all sinners. Brother, you need to dangle us over hell. I grew up in a brethren church. Dangle me over hell. Let me feel the flames of hell lapping on my ankles every week. If I don't feel that, then I'm not saved. Those days are done. Do you know what's so amazing about Easter? What's so amazing about an empty tomb? Rather than being boring, irrelevant, and untrue, what it tells me is that the King of Kings, the one who holds this whole world together, will never punish me again because of Jesus. He punished Jesus so that I could be free. That gives me a lot to celebrate this morning. That is a good word. I love that. I love that thought. I love getting up in the morning and going, I might have totally screwed up yesterday and messed up yesterday. I might have been impatient with my wife, not very often. You know, I might have been impatient with my children. I might have said a few bad words under my breath. I might have gone to the pictures, had a pint of Guinness. But today's a new day. Today's a new day, and I'm not going to be punished. Why? Because he loves me. That's real love. That's the love that we celebrate this morning. You know, I want to say to people that God, in that respect, in Matthew chapter 7, it says, if you who are evil know how to give good things, how much more, Pete, if we could put that up, how much more will God love us? Do you know what Easter tells you this morning? That you don't ever need to be worried again. Because if you, those of us with kids or grandkids, know how much our heart just, you know, like we Hope said this morning about Sophie, my heart could just burst. Well, compared to the way that God loves you and God loves your children this morning, that doesn't even start to come close. So if he loves us with that kind of love, how much more does he want to pour goodness and blessing and mercy and kindness into your life today? How much does he want to take the nitty-gritty of your life, the bits that nobody else sees, and show you that he can change you and transform you and give you a proper view of you and your life? Radically change you and transform you. That's real love. Let me just tell you very quickly what God's love is like and why it's different. And I'm going to read a bit of the Bible here. It's First John chapter 4. It's in the New Testament. It says this: He who doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested, shown towards us, that God sent his only Son into the world, Jesus, that we might live through him. In this act is love. Not that we loved God. So God didn't step into your world and doesn't want to step into your world today because you loved him first. He loved you first. Before you lifted a hand, before you said a word, before you had done anything right or wrong, he had already decided that he loved you. He loved you and he sent his Son to be the answer for all of the stuff, the propitiation for sin. It just means the answer for everything that was wrong in our lives. Let me just tell you why this morning we celebrate God's love. If you think God is love, what does that mean? The word that we talk about in the Bible that describes the love of God is totally different to the love that you describe between a husband and wife or a parent and child. How do you understand it? If your only reference is, well, my love at times goes up and goes down, the way I give love goes up and goes down, depending on how I feel. The way I receive love goes up and goes down. Well, how is God's love different? Well, the word is agape, and listen to this. Agape love is not how God feels about you. It's how he has decided to act towards you. So agape love is based on commitment, and it is based on a decision of God's will, and it is not based on feeling, because feelings go up and down. But God this morning has decided that he will love you and bless you and choose goodness for you as a choice of his will, no matter what. And this morning at Easter, we celebrate the fact that he has already moved heaven and earth. He has already done everything that is needed. And his choice this morning is this, that every day, every week, every minute, that God, your Father in heaven, is choosing to bless you and to give you good things. And he chooses it despite how you behave towards him. That's real love. That's why the love of God is the most incredible love you will ever find. It's not like human love. If you struggle to find that place where you are unconditionally accepted and loved, you find it in Jesus this morning, because he decided. When he said, I love you, it wasn't like he's going to change his mind ever. He made his mind up. It's an act of his will. It is his nature. God is love, not that God does love, but who he is agape. And what that means is, I choose every day that I will only act for your very best, because I love you. And if you doubt that, look at what I did to my son for you. Isn't that awesome? That's real love. That's not boring, irrelevant, or untrue to anyone's life. You know, because for most of us, we can kid some of the people some of the time, and we try to kid most of the people most of the time, but all of us know what really goes on the inside of us. And I want to tell you this morning that this Easter story is for you. What was yesterday can be gone in a moment when you accept the real love of Jesus Christ for you. He will change you, transform you, and heal you like nothing else and no one else. And he will do it before you lift a hand or a finger for him. Why? Because whenever God says he loves you, that's his choice. And unlike you and me, I often get into trouble with my missus. Because as I say to her, listen, love, if I said I will fix that, there is no need to remind me every 6 months about it. All right? Seriously. I said I would do it, and I will do it in my own time and in my own way. Hence, our garage is like Steptoe's yard. It's a tip, right? But don't remind me every 6 months, because you know you're nagging. That's what I say to her. Stop nagging me. You told me that last Christmas, and it's on the list. Man, you know what I mean? It's definitely on the list. God will never change. God will never change. How do you know how much God loves you? Well, he doesn't need to be reminded. You don't need to doubt. Whenever he said it, unlike me, I will say things that I don't mean at times. You probably do the same. Isn't that right? You'll say things in the moment, and sometimes that's the way human people are. That's the truth of it. No point in all pretending that we're all like holy Joes. Sometimes we say things we don't mean. I want to say to you, God never says something that he does not mean. It's part of his character. I could use big words to describe it, but essentially what it means is every word that comes out of the mouth of God is yes and done. He never changes his mind. He said he loved you, and he will always will love you. That's real love. I'm going to tell you three very quick things. This is how you know that love is real. First, you know that love is real by how much it costs somebody. If Jesus had just taken a bit of a digging for us, you might have thought, well, a few bruises and a knock around the head. Well, fair enough. But the deeper love that God has for us was demonstrated by the fact that it was the most brutal of all deaths. You'll see the depth of Jesus' love for you this morning when you look at how much it cost him to love you. He made the supreme sacrifice for you when he died in your place. Let me just tell you, if you don't understand, he was falsely accused. He was beaten and he was spat on. He was crowned with the crown of thorns, big things about that size, wedged right into his head. He was beaten and whipped, so his back was like a plowed field, nailed to a cross, left to die, the most excruciating, shameful death known to a man. It was the lowest of the low. They only crucified the lowest of the low. All of the sickness and all of the sin and all the curse was put on him for you. And he was left alone and abandoned on a cross, exposed to the whole world and, in fact, the whole of heaven. But he did it voluntarily. He did it for you when he was on that cross, I honestly believe that every single one of you were on his mind. That's how much it cost him. Don't ever doubt the love of God. Don't listen to the naysayers who say that God is a judgmental old goat who you cannot trust and will not do you any good. It cost him everything to love you. He gave everything. He didn't hold back. He didn't stop and go, I will see your man. He's just too far gone. And so what I'll do is I'll just hold back a wee bit. If you want to know what real love is, look at how much it costs. And we see a God who gave it all. 100%, nothing held back. That's an amazing love. Secondly, this, we know how much, what real love is like by how little we deserve it. I think if we treated God well all of our lives, you know, do you ever get really frustrated? Sometimes I get really frustrated. This looked kind of like me getting off my chest this morning, all the things that frustrate me about parenting. But you know, you want to be a really good parent, don't you? But you ever, are you ever tempted sometimes when your kids do your bopping just to go, the next time they come around and they're cute, just to go, I'm just going to hold back a wee bit because you need to know that I'm upset. Anyone? Oh, come on. Seriously, I don't even feel like a Christian in this place. You're all going, oh, I would never do that. Oh, my children? Oh, flip me. It's like Dr. Spock lives in our house, for goodness sake. You put me on the naughty step, never mind the kids. But we do that, don't we? When somebody's in our life and we're loving them, we think, you know, you better deserve it. Here's the incredible thing about real love. Not only did it cost God everything, but you never deserved it, and neither did I. How do you know that somebody really loves you? When they give everything and all that they are, everything that they own. It says just that, not that Jesus died for you, but they gave up all of what was his in heaven for you. Right? And you didn't deserve that. But because he loved you, he gave it to you anyway. So you want to understand what real love's like? Is how undeserving are you of that love? And when that love comes through in your life, you'll know it's real. Because there is nothing in us at all, that would have made God say, there's a wee tiny bit of goodness, so I'll love them. There was nothing at all. We didn't deserve it. And so that's why this morning I go, oh my goodness. God, you are amazing. In my worst moments still, the things that go through my head and my heart that sometimes I think, you know, I used to love the Brethren. I still do. If you're in the Brethren, fair play to you, right? But I used to go on a Wednesday night to the children's meeting after nearly being gassed to death on a bus, which would never pass health and safety in any shape or form. But Miss Barron's, my P6 teacher, used to collect all the kids, and she used to drive the bus wearing her burial. Oh, brilliant. And it was like, you know, like somebody had put a tube back into the bus with all the fumes. So it would be like half dead, half gassed by the time we actually got to the meeting. And what happened is every week I would stand up and I would get saved again. And I would be told that I didn't deserve anything from God. And the point is that they used to say, look, what would happen if the Lord came back right now, brother, and he put all of your things on the screen? Remember that? Well, it was fuzzy felt in my day. It wasn't a screen. If the Lord came back and showed the whole people what would be up on the screen, how would you feel then? And I was like, oh, my sweet mercy. 10 years old, absolutely petrified that if God came back. So I used to go to bed every week, every night, actually, for years, going, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me. And I was thinking of all the things I'd done wrong. And if I said enough God forgive me, it's like a ready reckoner, like God forgive me. Here's the bad, and here's the God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me. Oh, I've broken even, God forgive me. I can go to sleep now, because if Jesus comes back, he might remember me. All right? Totally crazy. And the point is, as I got older and then I started to realize, it doesn't matter. I didn't deserve it anyway. He gave it all for me and I didn't deserve it. He knows the very blackest bits of my heart. He knows the deepest thoughts that sometimes I'd be horrendously embarrassed if anyone ever knew them. He knows them and he says, you don't deserve it, but I love you anyway. My choice is, I love you. And I'm still going to act for goodness in your life. That's a good one. Last point is this. You know what real love is like in your life? By the greatness of the benefit that you get from being loved. So how much does it cost? How undeserving are you? And what is the benefit? I just simply want to say this. Easter for me, every year, has always been about having hope. Life can sometimes throw things at you that are incredibly hard to deal with. Oftentimes you might think that life's not fair. Why is it all right for them and not all right for me? God, why do you love them more than me? And that's all right for them, but what about me? Situations with our families, our health, our finances, work, children, relationships, these all present challenges that can be really, really tough for people. Do you know what today tells me, though? That because I have the real love of God in my life, because I've encountered the real love of God, the commitment of God towards me, that whatever dark days I'm living through will not last forever. Think about Mary and the disciples. Whenever they have Jesus with them and then he's taken away, brutally, brutally put to death. And those days in between Friday and Sunday where it's like, what on earth happens? I want to tell you this morning, the love of God gives you hope that today can be different than yesterday or the day before. Why? Because the real love of God tells you this. It was the ultimate demonstration that even death was subject to the love of God. He defeated death. He defeated sickness. He defeated every bit of shame and guilt and condemnation. He defeated every anxiety, every bit of depression, every bit of worry. He defeated every insecurity in your life. And he said, because I am stronger than death itself, you can have hope for tomorrow. You can have hope for tomorrow. I want to tell some people today, darkness does not last forever. If you're in darkness this morning or going through hard times, then come and receive the love of God this morning. Open your heart and open your mind to the Lord, because do you know real love makes such a difference that it lifts your head up and your heart up and says that whatever went on today, tomorrow can be different. And it's not that there. It'll all be all right. Fingers crossed. You know, when you talk to your friends at times, not that my friends would be like this because I don't have any friends, but if I did have friends, I'd imagine talking to them in the days when I did. I people go, well, how are you doing? You know that embarrassing moment where you're sitting and you go, it'll all work out. I know. Maybe women aren't like that, but men are a wee bit like that. Once you say what's going on and then there's that awkward silence because we don't know what to say to each other, men, isn't that right? And you go, it'll all work out. Anyway, the match, did you see it? You know, that's kind of like a... Women, if you wonder what goes on with men when we're out, that's kind of it in a nutshell, all right? And so the point is, that's human kind of love. I really love you. I really care for you. I have no idea what to say to you right now because I just feel a wee bit embarrassed. That's true, isn't it? No. God's love's not like that. When God loves you, he steps into your life. And he says, because my love is real, my commitment is real, it is totally undeserved. I loved you first. I will totally change, transform your life from the inside out. You can have hope. Whether you're sick, whether you're angry, whether you're unforgiving, whether you're full of pride, whether you're hurt so bad by people in your past, whether you feel like you're locked in a prison of whatever it happens to be, whether you feel like you're so afraid about tomorrow that you don't want to even put your head on the pillow tonight, that you're wondering if you're in a marriage, will he ever change or will she ever change? Will my kids ever be any different? Will I ever get out of debt? Will I get my credit cards cleared? Whatever it happens to be, all of life's challenges, the myriad that it brings, today is about hope. Because he lives, because he loves, because he is committed to us. Today can be different and tomorrow the same and the day after. That's real love. Amen? That's real love.